Today on Jesse Duplantis Ministries.
When you become uncertain of your vision, and that's usually done because it ain't happening fast enough, mental turbulence set in and your vision is perverted. So write this down. To understand your vision and articulate it. See, you got to understand it. You got to be able to speak about it. To understand your vision and articulate it, you must be free from panic. You don't panic on nothing. Vision always allows you to see things as they are. Let me say it again. To understand your vision and articulate it, you must be free from panic. Vision always allows you to see things as they are. When I started this building process, see, I knew what I was going to do, Steve. I knew it. But I'd never built a building in my life. If I build a doghouse, the dog gonna get wet. You see what I'm saying? But I knew what the Lord said. And I want to get total all kinds of building things. I bought the artwork for this place before we put one building. If you go in the executive office, you go in the middle, there's a wonderful courtyard with Jesus as a fisher of men. If you're coming through the gate, you'll see Peter washing Jesus' feet, a divine servant, fisher of men. You go into the foyer, you see the, Kathy, let me preach. You want this microphone? Okay, wait, I'm gonna get there. I know I said it different. Hang on, I get there. I love her. You know, this is a blessing of God. Listen, she okay? She says, quit interrupting me when I'm interrupting you. Yeah. So watch this. You walk in, you drive in, there's the divine servant. That's Peter.
Jesus walked in Peter's feet.
That's what I said.
No, you didn't.
I want to make sure you would listen to what I was saying. It was Jesus washing Peter's feet. You go, I've been married to her 54 years. I mean, we can be a dead sleep. She'll wake up and say, you know what you said was wrong? Go back to bed, woman. That's the wildest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Thank you, Kathy.
Okay, thank you, Kathy. Thank you. Come on, give her a little hand clap. All right. Now, the contract said, why are you buying the artwork? I said, because in my mind, it's already finished. So if you go in the foyer of the church, there's a globe there that shows you that we go to the world. If you walk out there, you will see Jesus with some children. Did you know what I'm talking about? And you see the little girl. The little girl is the mama of the two older children. I found that piece of artwork in California in a parking lot. Somebody was spending the night. I said, I want that. And this man had done this piece of artwork and was going to show it to Charlton Heston. I said, Charlton don't want this. He's into the Ten Commandments. This is different. And it's the little girl, it was his daughter, and the two older children are her children. And you know, that's church, that's called family. I did all that before we ever did anything. And I told my contractors, and they were panicking. I said, we will build this building. The Lord says $7 million. And they said, there's no way, you got Italian mobile. There's no way. And I just looked at them, I said, I know the way. You don't know the way. If Jesus is the way, you can't get lost. If he's the truth, you cannot be deceived. If he's the life, the devil can't kill you. I said, I am the 800-pound gorilla. I'm the one with the money. They thought I had all the money. I had $1.2 million. I said, we'll do it for $7 million. We'll come under budget. They said, this is in 1997. Yes. One time the Lord said, hearken unto Kathy. I said, Lord, you've never been married. But anyway. I did say that. You think I'm just saying it to make a joke? I said that to the Lord. My God. So I said, we started. and we do it in a three-phase job. We do the production distribution center. We would do the executive office, and we were moving people over from the other offices as it was all being built. And then naturally, the last thing would be the church, you see, and the wings and the studios and all the different things. They said, you just can't do it for that. What do you mean I can't? But the Lord said. Well, I know the Lord said. No, you don't know it. Now you're questioning what the Lord said. And when we finished this, he said, this back then, now today, right now, she's worth about almost $30 million. She's back then, they said, if you do it for $12 million, 10, no, 12, it'd be a miracle, God. And I said, no, the Lord said seven, and you'll come under budget. And when we finished, we built this for $6,746,000. And never asked people to try to cut their prices and things. Now, we were good business people. We said, we got three bids and the different things and all that. And I watched over, and I've had Brother Copeland and a lot of different people say, Jesse, everything you touch prospers. It seems to be under budget. You know why? Because I don't let other people do it. See, other people can spend your money quicker than you can. You see what I'm saying? So I watch over that. Why? Because I got to answer before God, and also I'm accountable to the partners who support this ministry. So I'm not throwing that away. I don't do that. You see what I'm saying? And when we built it and we walked in, I mean, it was just amazing. Do you see this carpet? It looks like it's at the Ritz-Carlton. How old is this carpet, Kathy?
24 years old.
Look at it. Look at it. Do you see these things? If y'all can look in the aisle, you see that? Look like this little rug. You know what that was, Nancy? That was scrap that they had thrown outside. And I walked out there and I looked at that and I went, give me that scrap. And I said, now I want you to put it so many feet so it would look like a Persian rug. I may be Cajun, but I got good taste. And they couldn't. We didn't even waste the scrap in any way, shape, or form. That was God giving us insights, concepts, and ideas. And they listened. Why? Well, how could you do it for that? Because I wholly follow the Lord. You cannot depress me. Give it your best shot. You ever seen me depressed or discouraged or despondent? I don't have time for that. I don't deal with panic. Panic is for other people. I'm not better than you are. I have a job to do to complete my destiny and reach my destination. For see, vision always allows you to see things as they are. So, and that simply means that I understand how they're going to talk to me. They see and think, well, man, they're just, you know, this is Italian marble. Do you know how much money this costs? I said, well, are you paying for it? What are you worried about? Just let me do what I need to do. And they did. And it all worked out perfectly. See, that's what I mean. And you sometimes you'll get into panic stages. And it's amazing how God will take care of you. You know, I don't fly commercial at all. And you know, Brother Copeland will change his mind. Just like that. We went to Guadalcanal, me, Jerry, and Kenny went over there and preached, boy. And we dropped Gloria off in Honolulu because it was so hot. And they said, we'll pick her up on the way coming back, and we will fly back to Dallas and New Orleans. So watch this. So Jerry said, you know, he said, I'm gonna put my plane down for the little maintenance because we're gone. I said, mine too. We talked about it, me and Jerry, you know. So we get over there. So when we fly over the Pacific Ocean, all of a sudden we begin to hear, dun, 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 dun. We're getting close to Honolulu, and here comes Brother Cole. Hey, Jeff, Jerry. He said, Jesse, just call your office and tell them to send your Falcon 50 out here to pick you up. He said, I think I'm gonna spend a few days out here, me and Gloria, and I'll preach for Art and Kuna and all that kind of stuff. And I went. And I thought, my fifth is down. I got to do maintenance. And I had to preach. I looked at Jerry and he says, I got to preach too. So I didn't know anything about commercial flight. I had the last time I flew commercial, I think it was 1995 or something like that. I didn't know you had to take your shoes off. The guy said, take your shoes off. I said, yo, mom, I ain't taking my shoes off. What do you think you are? It was you the one that brought me to the airport. And y'all told me, but Jesse, let us get you through here. I thought, what do you mean? Tell me, take my shoes off. All that kind of stuff. You know? But I'm not used to that. I'm used to when I get out there, I walk straight toward that plane. Let's go, boys. They close the hatch and boom, we're gone. Well, I had to learn that. This brother saved me from going to jail. Come talk. Hold your hand up to everybody. Know that, right? That's right. I mean, because I didn't know. I wasn't panicking. And I said something kind of crazy one time. I said, you think I'm going to blow up my own plane with me on it? You don't say that. Because now they want to touch you. And sometimes in private places. God said, I'm going to have to put my hand between your legs. I said, you better not smile. You better not like this. You know, how they doing all this kind of stuff, looking for guns and all that kind of craziness. Got on a plane, praise God, made it. Watch this. Flew to Dallas. I was supposed to sleep. Jerry told me, I didn't know how to do anything. I was in a first class. I got the last seat on the plane. Jerry had to go out the next day. So I said, man, I need to get some rest. And all of a sudden, this lady come in. I said, ma'am, excuse me. The flight attendant, where are all the buttons? What are you doing today? Oh, this is the first time you've ever flown? I said, no. I said, I have my own jet. Oh, a VIP. I said, yeah, so show me how to do this. And then she started talking, and the Lord began to deal with me in the Holy Ghost. I said, you got problems at the house, don't you? Well, you and your husband fighting pretty bad. Here come the tears. I said, I can fix that. I said, I never fly a 777. He said, God put me on this plane to help you. And I prayed for it, and God had born again. I said, when you get home, listen to me. I said, everything's going to be fine. Your husband's going to repent. And you're not wrong. He's wrong. But he's going to realize that he was wrong, and everything's going to be fine. Oh, she couldn't get over it. Well, my Lord, I thought, well, praise God. I'm about ready to press the button, and she brings another flight attendant. She says, she's going to hell, too. You need to help her. So I said, well, who are you sleeping with? I will say what the Lord tells me to say. And then I prayed for her. She stopped crying, and she got born again. Finally, we're cutting across the ocean, you know, I think, man, I got to get some rest. So I thought, okay. So I dimmed the light, started to give them a hint, and they went and get the co-pilot. And both of them come and say, he's a devil from hell. Got him born again. Yes. All three people trying to get the, I didn't sleep one lick. So I don't know where to go, and I don't have my friend to help me here. I said, I better calm down, just be nice, you know. You know, don't panic. You know, so I'm walking, and I look for my gate, and I found the gate, you know, and I sat down. People said, you know who you look like? And I said, who? Jesse Duplantis. I said, you know how many people told me that? I never said nothing. I said, do I really look like him? Well, you look a little older than him. I said, well, I probably am. I never said nothing, you know. So anyway, they start loading the plane. So Don, I get on the plane, you know, and I'm in first class, the aisle seat bulkhead. Here comes this little Chinese guy. He goes, hi. I said, hello. He said, my seat is the window seat. I said, oh, excuse me. Pull my feet back like I come in there. And he sits down. He said, I'm going to do a job. I said, you are. And he sees my peanuts on the bag. Then he gave me the peanuts. He said, you gonna eat them peanuts? I said, no. Can I have them? Sure. So I gave him my peanuts. I said, you want me to order some peanuts for you? So they gave him a couple of bags, and he ate my peanuts. Sitting there, he takes his computer and goes, he said, this plane's not going anywhere. I said, what? He said, I just hacked into Delta. I said, you did what? He said, I hacked into Delta. He said, in about the next 5 minutes, he said, they're going to come and say, they got to look for another plane. He said, my job, I can get into anything. He said, I'm going to get a job starting out at $350,000 a year. He's 18 years old. Brilliant. I said, you got to be kidding me. He said, what do you want to know? Ooh. I thought, IRS, that's what I want to know. Hallelujah. I said, he said, I can get into anything. So sure enough, they come on and said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry. We're going to have to delay this flight. We have a mechanical failure. And everybody, you can hear people go, oh, you know. So we're going to deplane you and put you back until we can see what we can do. He's going, he said, they got another plane. It's 8 gates down. It's exactly the same as this one. They won't need to change the passes. You can sit in the same plane. I said, are you sure? He said, look. He said, give them 6 minutes. I thought, man, this kid's good. and showing that they come back. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a wonderful announcement. We have a plane that's six gates down there, and you don't have to change. You'll be in the same seat. It's the exact same kind of plane as this. So if you were going to deplane you and just walk to this gate and everything, I said, come with me, young man. Let us get to, I just couldn't get over that. So I sat down like that, and he says, you going to eat that cookie? Kids, they like, I said, no, you want it? Oh, yeah. You know, and I had, I think a half a can of Coke. He said, are you going to finish drinking that Coke? No, man, here, I'm feeding all this stuff. He said, what do you want to know? Oh, it was so tempting. This kid was something. Dangerous. Brilliant. But innocent. You could see he was just innocent, you know. I said, young man, you ain't no telling where you're going to go in life. He said, I'll know it before I get there. I'll never forget that young man. Well, you know, there were a lot of people panicking, you know, and I hadn't been on one, CJ, and I thought, well, I'll just sit here and enjoy myself, you know. I said, and I'll get to New Orleans when I get to New Orleans. And actually, we were 7 minutes early getting to New Orleans. Thank God for that kid. And I said, man, I hope to see you again. He said, well, maybe one day you will. I said, do you need anything else before I leave? Peanuts, Cokes, cookies? He said, I noticed they give you a lot. They only give us a bag. I said, it's the white hair. Oh. He said, who are you? I said, I could own Delta. He said, do you own Delta? I said, no. And I'm glad I don't, because you'd know everything. He just bust out. He just thought that was so funny. I had a chance to panic, and I refused. Because I had a vision to complete. I had to go do something. Write this down. When you become uncertain of your vision, mental turbulence sets in, and your vision is perverted. Who don't want it yesterday? Let me say it again. When you become uncertain of your vision, and that's usually done because it ain't happening fast enough, mental turbulence set in, and your vision is perverted. In all my life of the vision God has given me for the ministry, I have never perverted it. I've had everybody try to change me to do this. I'm unchangeable. And I don't mean that prideful. I know what the Lord told me to do. So when a mental turbulence comes, and it does, I just ascend to a higher level. I just get out of the turbulence. You see what I'm saying? Why? Because your vision is way more powerful than the turbulence. Because the turbulence is at only certain feet, certain levels of it. And you're always going to have somebody say, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do it. And but yet the Bible said you can do all things through Christ. I just ascend to a higher level. And I just tell people the truth. Just tell them the truth, you know. And I'll tell you a story that literally happened when the church, this was not built. Kathy started the church actually at the Shriners, and then we moved into a production distribution center to the back of it to start Covenant Church there. And I was flying every day. And that Sunday morning I was preaching, and they had the side door open, and they said, Brother Jesse, as soon as you say amen or something, walk toward it, because if we're not going to make it. We're on a time because you got to preach tonight. We got to get to New York and blah, 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 this and that. So watch this now. You know what I mean? So I just made it my, I said, okay. So I said, I would call Pastor David. He's in heaven today, our first pastor. And I said, David, I'm going to turn it over to you. You dismiss so I can walk out the door. I got to get to the airport. Okay. Well, there was a man wanted to talk to me. So he come up to me, Jason, said, I need to talk to you. I said, sir, I don't have time. I apologize. I said, well, here's Pastor David. I didn't come here to talk to him. I said, I understand that. I said, but sir, I don't have time. You see that car running right there? I got to get there. He said, well, I guess that tells me I shouldn't come to this church. I said, I guess that's right. Don't let the door hit you in the butt. Get out of here. And Pastor David said, he's not a pastor. Let me help you. You know, I thought, what's the matter with the man? How many times I got to tell a man that? You understand what I'm saying? But he did come back. You know, I mean, I was trying to be a blessing to him. You know, doing everything I could, but I was on a timeline that couldn't be broke. But you know, some people don't understand that. Now, I didn't panic. I just told them the truth. Now, that's not rude. It's just simply the truth. I got in the plane, and we made it to New York. In fact, they were singing when I walked through. And when I walked in, they said, ladies and gentlemen, just in the plane. And I went straight to the platform. You don't understand my schedule. I was preaching a believers' convention one time, and T.D. Jakes, Busy Jay, wanted me to do a mega fest. Remember that thing in Atlanta? He calls him, he said, Jesse, and I knew Jake's real well. He said, Jesse, I'm going to give you Wednesday night, 72,000 people going to hear you preach the gospel. I said, man, I said, Jake, I can't go down there. I can't be there on Wednesday night. He said, Jesse, there's 72,000. I said, I don't care. Well, where are you going to preach at? I said, I'm going to a church with about 700, maybe 600. I said, and I can't do that. He said, well, I want you to come. I want you to be a part of it. I said, well, thank you. Well, he said, can you give me anything? I said, I'll give you Friday morning at 10 o'clock. He said, I'll take it. I said, okay. Now, he didn't know that I got to be in Southwest Believers Convention. And thank God that Atlanta is Eastern time and Fort Worth is Central time so I can gain an hour. There was 15,000 people in my meeting on Friday morning. Bishop Jake shows up, my God, and I'm preaching, spit flying. Man, you'd have thought I was Jonathan Shuttlesworth. Well, you should have seen me, son. I was just, I had to preach an ointment on me. I was just going at it. Just a screaming. Because you know, when you preach for a lot of black people, you got the, you can't say this, for God so loved the world that it gave his only begotten son. No, you got to hoop, for God loved the world, and I want to let you know. And, man, and black people just screaming and hollering. I love all that, man. I just love all of that. So he's sitting there, and he don't know, normally go to the other speakers. I looked at him, I said, what are you doing? He said, you want to go to lunch? I said, no, I ain't got time to go to lunch. I said, man, I got to preach for Kenneth Copeland. I got to get on the jet. And they synchronized the red lights in downtown Atlanta. We were doing 90 miles an hour in downtown Atlanta. Thank God, man, they had, get me to the airport. When I got to the airport, the engine was on. I said, come on, baby. I jumped in, they closed the door, and we flew. Now, what? I got to Fort Worth, man. And there in Meacham Field, y'all picked me up. I ran like this, and Brother Copeland was on the stage. And he thought I just hadn't got, I could see him. He says, ladies and gentlemen, one of my preaching buddies, Jesse the Planner. And he thought I'd been there. I just walked up on the platform. Hello, everybody. How y'all doing? And just did my session that day. See, and I do that quite often. You know, but you have to have times, the time has to be right. You're flying from east to west so you can gain time as you go. Now, was you panicking? No, I wasn't panicking. Well, that ain't going to make the plane fly any faster. People say, he don't worry about anything. Well, would it help? No. So that's a waste of energy. Now, mental turbulence. All you have to do, and it will pervert your vision. How many of y'all believe it was something that's impossible? Now, your mind will tell you, you can't do that. That's right. You can't, but God inside of you can. You can do all things through Christ. You got to use the through Christ sign, see? So just ascend to a higher level. Don't worry about people leaving your church. Be concerned about people coming to your church. You see what I'm saying? And just let your light so shine. You're not going to please everybody.
We have another great partner offer for you. It's titled The Prime Obligation and Privilege of Christians. Let me ask you, have you shared the good news with someone today? I want you to discover how important it is to make your life a pattern for others. God has entrusted you with his holy gospel, and he's given you everything you need to share it and change the world. How do I get it? Go to jdm.org and order it today. You will be blessed. It will help you do it.
Vision always runs in advance of your ability to fulfill it. It's always ahead of you, see? But if you say, God chose me, and I'm going to complete this, and I'm going to do this. You're always going to have somebody say, you can't do this, you can't do that, but yet the Bible says you can do all things through Christ. You don't realize how much power you have as a Christian. No matter how old you are, don't you ever quit.
Before you know it, you complete your destiny and reach your destination.
I want to see you at our Visionary Conference in person. Now, if you can't, you can join us live on our social media platforms and on our free JDM app. How do you get all that information? Go to jdm.org for all the details, and you'll be blessed. My product offer. What a great resource for this month. It's my book, Notes from a Vision Specialist. That's me. I know how to get things done. All I want you to do is get your thing done. God has taught me key principles in this book that work, and I'm a living testimony of his power to bring divine vision to pass. I mean that. It will come to pass. I encourage you to get a copy today at jdm.org for the ordering information. God wants to see you achieve your destiny. Partners, thank you. Can I say thank you, thank you, thank you? Kind of like old Gomer Pyle. Thank you, thank you. Remember Gomer Pyle? Praise God. I can't thank you enough for your faithful financial support. We couldn't do it without you. We've asked the Lord for every dollar given our ministry. Give us a soul. And he's doing that. We're reaching people, changing lives, one soul at a time. Thank you for supporting us today. Tell other people to get involved in this ministry. And the anointing of increase will come on them too. And will come upon you. Till next week, Jesse saying, I love you. I really do. Bye-bye. You know, God is the creator, and we should be creators too. In my book, Notes from a Vision Specialist, I reveal some of my vision impacting experiences so that you can make your vision real God's way. God wants you blessed and excited about your future. Order Notes from a Vision Specialist and decide to make the vision real.
Order your physical copy or digital download for your donation amount of $5 or more at jdm.org.
This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come.
Join Jesse and Kathy Duplantis for a special Friday event.
This is the God that you can come boldly through the throne of grace. Ask anything in his name and he'll do it.
August 8th in Nashville, Tennessee at Faith is the Victory Church.
God is looking for a few good men and women that will step up and go where he's calling them to go.
Don't miss this special Friday event. For more information, go to jdm.org.
The gospel is the revelation of the very nature of deity. It comes from God and not from men. You got to understand, when you hear the gospel, when you hear a minister preach the gospel, that's coming from God. All that man, God is just using his mouth, his voice. But that gospel is coming directly from the throne to you to change you in some way, shape, or form.
Thank you for watching today. For more information about Jesse Duplantis Ministries, go to jdm.org.